If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Genesis this morning. Genesis in two places, chapter 37 and chapter 39. Should be a fairly familiar text to you, but if it's not, then I hope that today's lesson, today's teaching will speak to you on maybe a new look at this passage of Scripture. Genesis 37 and 39, I've titled today's teaching, The Man Who Kept His Character. The man who kept his character. I want to introduce you to a young man this morning. He's 17 years old when we first meet him. He is a favorite son of the family of 12 sons. His father had chosen him to be the head of the family. His father gave him a beautiful robe to symbolize his authority in the family. He was on his way to being the most powerful person in his family. He had even had some dreams that were sent to him by God of what was going to happen, and those dreams confirmed everything that was happening in his life. And according to those dreams, he was on his way to be the place of absolute leadership in his family. This gentleman is one of my Bible heroes. Now, you would say, Ron, our Bible hero is Jesus, and I agree with you 100%, but if you don't have other Bible heroes, I'm going to ask you why. You need to have Bible heroes in your life. You need to have people in the Bible that you can look to when there's difficult times in your life, and you can draw upon their life and their circumstances that they've gone through. And this is one of my Bible heroes, and you know who it is. It's Joseph. Joseph. Joseph's father was Jacob, and his mother was Rachel. Jacob was 91 years old at Joseph's birth. He was the 11th son of Jacob. He was mentioned as the favorite son. He was given a coat of many colors. He had special dreams about future events. He was sent out very often to check on his brothers who were tending sheep. They were shepherds, and they were tending the sheep. He was thrown into a pit by who? By his brothers. He was sold into slavery by who? By his brothers. He was bought by Potiphar. He was raised up as a slave. He was wrongly accused as a rapist. He was sent to a prison sentence that he for a crime that he did not commit. He became an overseer in prison. Interesting. He interpreted dreams in prison of fellow inmates. He was forgotten in prison by those who promised to remember him. He was given complete control of the king's business later on in his life, and he came to terms with his brothers, and he even helped save their lives later on in the book of Genesis. But the number one thing that we can say about Joseph is this: he served God to the best of his ability. He served God to the best of his ability. If you have Genesis 37 open, follow along as I read, starting in verse number 5. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. Indeed, your sheaves stood around and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brothers said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and his words. Then he dreamed still another dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they said, "Look, I have dreamed even another dream. And at this time the sun, the moon, and even the 11 stars bowed down to me." So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him. They were jealous of him. But his father kept or observed the matter in mind. It's clear that all 10 of Joseph's older brothers resented Joseph. Why? Because he was their father's favorite, and because of the dreams that Joseph shared with them. If you look at Genesis 37, 19, just a little bit further down, they said to one another, "Look, the dreamer is coming." That's how they talked about Joseph. So one day, Joseph's brothers had the opportunity to deal with him. They were tired of him. They wanted to get away from him. They wanted to do away with him. His brothers attacked him. They threw him in a pit. They sold him as a slave to some merchants that were coming by for less than $100, the price of a crippled slave at that time. The deal that they made revealed the amount of contempt that they had for Joseph in their lives. They hated Joseph. They couldn't stand him. They wanted to get rid of him. These Ishmaelite merchants that bought him took Joseph to Egypt and sold him into slavery in that land. So as we look at this morning, we see this 17-year-old man. He's stripped of his coat given to him by his father. He's separated from his beloved father. He's betrayed by the very people, his brothers, who should have loved him the most. And he's sold and carried off to a strange land to live as a slave. Can you only imagine the fear that Joseph must have felt in his heart at that time? 17 years old. He's pulled up out of a pit, waving to his brothers, saying, "Why are you doing this to me?" And they're carting him off. And he goes down the road. Can you imagine the hurt that he must have felt at that time? The hurt that was in his life? Can you only imagine the lies that Satan must have been telling him right then? Satan must have been saying, "Hey, what about those dreams you had there, boy? How's that going to work out for you?" His young dreams, the dreams of his life, were shattered in his young life. You know, Joseph was just a country boy from a very unsophisticated family. But he found himself being transported to this capital city of the most advanced nation on the earth at that time. So imagine how Joseph must have felt as he was either walking behind this cart with these merchants, or maybe they had loaded him in, I don't know. But can you imagine how he must have felt as those camels crested over the final hill and the city of Egypt was before him? He would have seen all these Egyptian temples and the palaces of Pharaoh. Must have been a great shock to this 17-year-old little boy. Every mile that he traveled, further from his dad, further from his family, every new sight that confirmed the truth that his life was over and done and it was going to be changed forever. Every new word, new sound, new smell told Joseph that his life was never going to be the same. Never going to be the same. On the surface, it seems that circumstances, if we look at the circumstances that Joseph's in, we would say, this is terrible. How's he going to come out of this? Those difficult days were just steps that God had planned for him in his life. It had appeared, I'm sure, to Joseph that all the dreams that he had been shattered. But you see, it was God who gave him the dreams in the first place. And God was working behind the scenes to ensure that all those dreams were going to be fulfilled. Not in Joseph's time, but in God's time. Joseph found himself in a pit. Then he found himself in prison. He endured a lot of pain and sorrow and heartache in that young life. But through it all, Joseph kept something very, very precious. Through the assault of his brothers, the separation from his family, his father, being sold into slavery, imprisoned for something he didn't do, Joseph maintained a very firm grip on his character. It was said by John Wooden, basketball coach from UCLA, many years ago, "Character is what you are when no one else is looking." Let me repeat that. Character is what you are when no one else is looking. Joseph was away from his home. He's in this strange town. He would, I'm sure, offered amazing opportunities at that time. No one back in where his hometown or where he lived would have known if Joseph had decided to live like an Egyptian, given into the ways and the morals of this pagan land that he was now in. Nobody would have known it, but through all the trouble that he faced and through the temptations, you see, that came his way, Joseph kept a tight grip on his integrity. And when he came out of the pit, and even later on when he came out of prison, you see, Joseph came through it with his character and his integrity intact. So I want to look at Joseph this morning, maybe from a different version, a different angle, a different view that we've ever looked at Joseph at before, and look at the man who kept his character. And I hope that these lessons will help us to hold on to our character. You know, when we go through those difficult times in life, and I know that there are people here in this building today that are going through difficult times. There's people that are listening on the internet this morning that are going through difficult times. Joseph went through difficult times, but he hung on to his character and his integrity. Number one, let's look at how Joseph's character was developed. If we look at everything on the surface, we would say that Joseph's life had just fallen apart. But you see, when you study the life of Joseph, and you're going to have to read the whole story of Joseph, because we're just going to touch on little bits and pieces. And if you haven't read the whole story of Joseph in a while, or maybe never, you need to pick up the book of Genesis and starting in chapter 37 and read through the story of Joseph. It's an amazing story, and I guarantee that Joseph will become a Bible hero of yours, just like he is mine. You see, it becomes clear as we go through the story of Joseph that God was personally directing all the events of Joseph's life. He was directing all the events. God was turning this boy into a man. God was using this horror and this hardship of Joseph's life to develop him into a man for his glory. Go back to Genesis 37. And let's pick it up in verse number 21. But Reuben heard it. That's one of Joseph's brothers, Reuben. And he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into the pit which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father." So it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers, they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat him, and then they sat down to eat a meal. Great bunch of guys, huh? Then they lifted their eyes and looked. And there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices, balm, and myrrh, on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brothers listened. Then the Midianite traders passed by, so the brothers pulled up Joseph, lifted him up out of the pit, sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Israel. That's a powerful scene right there when you think about it. When you really look deeply at that, what was going on? Here Joseph is in this pit. His brothers are having lunch, a barbecue probably. They can sense that Joseph can sense that his brothers are right there. And what happens? These traitors come by. They lift him out of the pit, and they say, "Here, you're going with them. Goodbye. See you later. Hope everything works out for you." But I want you to notice the sovereign hand of God moving in Joseph's life, even right now in that passage that we read. You see, the other brothers wanted to kill Joseph. They wanted to kill him. But Reuben convinced them to put Joseph into a pit. Why? Reuben was going to come back and release Joseph and take him back to the family. Judah, another brother, came up with the idea to sell Joseph as a slave instead of killing him. And then we have this sudden appearance of these Ishmaelite traitors. Isn't that interesting? How they just came along. And then the fact that they sold Joseph to Potiphar, a high ruler of Pharaoh. Genesis 37:36 says this: "Now the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard." Potiphar is called captain of the guard. What does that mean? Well, we would equate that to today's Secret Service protecting the president, because that's what Potiphar did. He was like the head of Pharaoh's secret police. He was responsible for protecting Pharaoh and for dealing with those that might want to attack the king. So Potiphar, by the virtue of his position, probably came in contact with a lot of officials and upper people. And I'm sure at that time Joseph was a slave and he was probably around, and he might have even been introduced to some of those people and been around them and serving them. But what is, if you read the whole story of Joseph, what you're going to have to do, you see, these people that he met that he was serving would later on in the story come back and serve Joseph. That's the sovereign hand of God working in Joseph's life. You see, God had set everything up like it needed to be so that when Joseph arrived, he was going to be exactly where he needed to be at the exact moment he needed to be there. Joseph was just this young man, betrayed by his brothers, sold, but he was safe in the arms of God the whole time. Even though he was separated from his earthly father, who I'm sure that he missed greatly, his heavenly father went with him and before him into Egypt. You see, you can tell how much control, when we look at that scripture that we read, how much control the Lord had by the people that were involved in just those verses that we just read. Joseph's brothers, the traitors, Potiphar, they were all serving their own selfish interests for what they were doing. But you see, those brothers wanted to get rid of Joseph. The Israelites were out for a prophet. Potiphar was just looking for a good slave. But you see, what they were doing, and they didn't know it, was accomplishing the purposes of an almighty God. You see, that's the blessing that we can pull from this in the events of our lives as we go through difficult times in our life. We can know that Jesus is always in the boat with us. He doesn't leave us. Just like the disciples. When that storm came through, he was in the bow of the boat asleep. They woke him up, he calmed the storm. He didn't leave the boat. He was there all the time. You see, when the events of Joseph's life appear to be out of control, everything that occurred was controlled by God. Joseph was being protected. He was being matured. And we can see how God matured and grew his life. Look at God's presence in Joseph's life. Genesis 39:2. It says, "The Lord was with Joseph. He was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." And we don't see any bitter spirit in Joseph. And I think that's one of the amazing things that we can take out of this whole story of Joseph. We never see that bitter spirit that a lot of people would have portrayed. I have to be honest with you. If I was in Joseph's place and I was sold and thrown into a pit, I might have some bitterness. Now, that's just me. I don't know. I can't speak for you. But we don't see that in Joseph's life. He was that person of character and integrity his whole time. Look at God's providence in Joseph's life. The dreams that God gave Joseph, we see back in Genesis 37, hadn't been forgotten in any way. We're going to see those being fulfilled. Not today, but if you read the story of Joseph, you'll see those stories, those dreams fulfilled. They were being fulfilled in God's time and in God's way. The dreams surely must have sustained Joseph during those dark days of his suffering and slavery. And you and I have the same protections that Joseph enjoyed. That's an amazing statement because we worship the same God. Amen? Amen? Amen. He's there for us, just like he was there for Joseph. We have his presence in our life. Hebrews 13:5, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." That's a wonderful promise that we can hang on to when we go through those difficult times in our life. Matthew 28:20, "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That's another wonderful promise. That end of the age, whether we take that ride as a solo or we all are raptured as a group. I personally hope it's we're raptured as a group because I really don't want to go to work tomorrow. So I'd be perfectly fine with that. And all those people that we've started pools for, well, they'll have to fend for themselves. I'm not going to worry about it. We won't be here. I hope you get excited about that the Lord's return is soon. Amen. It's soon. Can the world end tomorrow? No, but we can be raptured. We're with Jesus for 7 years before we come back for 1,000. I won't get into Dave's teaching, but anyways. We have God's help to deal with our problems and our past and our pain in God's way. We don't have to become bitter or angry or give in to some unforgiving spirit. We can display that sweet spirit even during those most trying times of our life with God's help. We have God's promise in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. A lot happens in life that doesn't make any sense, but it doesn't change the fact that God's always with us. After our son, Justin, was born, my wife got pregnant again. And at 7 months during that pregnancy, the Lord took that little baby boy home. And he's up in heaven right now rejoicing with his grandma and grandpas and his cousins and his aunts and uncles, and he's having a great time. That was a difficult time in our life because we didn't understand why. A year or so later, my wife became pregnant again. And this time, the Lord gave us a wonderful daughter. And we were blessed. Why did God do it that way? I don't know. But he had that planned out. That was the plan for our lives. God is in our trials. He's not there to harm us, but he's there to develop us. And we can trust him to protect us and grow us amid those hardships of life. Are you trusting him today in those hardships that you might be going through? Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. In everything Joseph faced, he was being developed for the glory that was waiting for him there. No, waiting for him down the road. His character was being developed in his father's house, in his relationship with his brothers, in that pit, in Potiphar's house, in the prison. God used every good day and every bad day in Joseph's life to shape Joseph into the purpose that God wanted him to be. The Lord sends us through the storms and the trials and the times of suffering. Why? So he can develop our character. That's why God does it. But he's there for us. He's in the business of transforming us into people he saved us to be. Did you catch that? Because that's important. He's in the business of transforming us, his children, into the people that he wants us to be. Are you being transformed? Are you walking in his will? He's in the business of transforming us into the image of his son. And he's preparing us for the glory that lies ahead. Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen. The character of Joseph was being developed in times of pain, in times of heartache, in times of misunderstanding, betrayal, separation. But you know what? So is ours. We are going through the same thing. We go through those difficult times. When I left corporate America and started my own business, it was a failure. Our family went through some difficult, hard times. But God was preparing us for down the road. He didn't leave us. He didn't leave us. You see, God is taking sinners and turning them into saints. He's not building shacks, he's building cathedrals. And you know what? Just as it takes heat and pressure and time to turn a piece of coal into a diamond, it takes that same amount of time sometimes to transform us. I've often shared with you Larry, who we met in convalescent care. He was 99 years old. 99 years old without the Lord. sitting in a wheelchair, happy because somebody had given him a blanket that day. And when I walked up to Larry, I said, Larry, do you want to accept Jesus this morning? After he had denied that many, many times to other people, I had nothing to do with it. It was strictly the Holy Spirit speaking to Larry that day. Larry, do you want to accept Jesus? And he said, yes. And at 99 years old, he accepted Jesus as his Savior. A couple months later, he turned 100, and a couple months later, he was gone in heaven. He's in heaven this morning with my mom and dad, my in-laws, and he's probably met them and said, I met the screwiest guy down there. Told the worst jokes ever, played the worst guitar. But he's in heaven today. It took 99 years to turn that piece of coal into a diamond. But he gave his life to Jesus. That's how Joseph's character was developed. Number two, how his character was demonstrated. Go back to Genesis 39. Pick it up in verse number two. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of the master of the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. You see, when Joseph arrived in Egypt, he didn't have his coat of many colors. He had lost his coat. But you see, his character was still very much intact. The coat that his father had given him was a symbol of position in his family. It had marked him as the head of the family. It had marked him as one in charge of all things. It had marked him with a man of authority. But it also marked him as an overseer. And what is an overseer? Well, an overseer is somebody who's in charge. And even more than that, an overseer is somebody who goes into some places, an overseer, and looks for what's wrong. As an overseer, I get to stand back there in the back while service is going on. And one of the things I'm always looking for is what's not right. Are the lights not on? Is the air conditioner not? That's what an overseer does. And you see, Joseph was an overseer in Potiphar's household. Joseph lost his coat. But he didn't lose the ingredients that made him a great man. Joseph's greatness didn't come from the clothes on his body, but it was the character in his heart. What is your character in your heart this morning? We have to have that same testimony. We need to do everything in our power to guard our character and our integrity. Where? Everywhere. In the stores, when you go to Publix and you're in the express lane and you have two items and the person in front of you has a basket that's full in the express lane, we have to maintain our character. On I-95, if you can maintain your character and integrity on I-95, bless you. Because I can't. You have to maintain our character wherever we go. Even when we call the cable company, we're on the phone for 2 hours and we still don't get an answer to our question. We have to maintain our character. And that's happened to me lately, so I can relate to that. And I had a hard time with that, too, I got to be honest with you. Isn't it interesting, and it's not people at this church, but isn't it interesting if you've been to other churches, you see people at church and they behave one way, and when you see them out in the world, they're totally different? That's wrong, guys. That's not the way it should be. We're to have our character and integrity wherever we are. We have to be that same person wherever we go. We have to strive to do the right thing, be that right person all the time. You see, when Joseph arrived in Egypt, he could have taken several paths. He could have adopted the ways and the customs of this new land, could have abandoned his faith in God, could have embraced the religion of Egypt. But Joseph stayed the course. Isn't it interesting when we think about people who stayed the course in the Bible? Think about Daniel for a minute. When Daniel went to Babylon, he was instructed that he was going to eat all this special food. And what did he do? He said, no, I'm not going to live that way. He stood up for what he believed in. He had character and integrity. But even more than that, think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There's three guys that were told, you're going to bow down to these altars. And they said, no, we're not. We don't believe that way. So what happened to them? They get tossed into a fiery furnace. That's the end of them, right? No. They came out not even smelling like fire because God protected them. They stood up for what they believed. So, you know, like Joseph, you and I, well, we need to establish those boundaries in our lives and make up our minds that there's going to be certain things that we just won't do. And when we do that now, you see, when those opportunities come along, we've already got the answer already made up in our mind that we're not going to do that. And we can maintain our integrity and our character. Those issues are settled. We're told in verse number 2 that we just read that Joseph was a prosperous, he was a successful man. And verse number 3 tells us that the Lord made all that he did to prosper. Why did Joseph prosper? Because God blessed him. And why did God bless him? Because God knew that Joseph was a man that was going to do his will. I want you to see this morning, that Joseph was in a bad situation. He lived a life, though, that was blessed by the Lord. I'm sure in his early life when he was a servant, a slave, that there were so many things that he didn't want to do. But he was faithful to his tasks. His character caused him to be faithful to God and to his human master. But you see, God blessed his life and his work. And you know what? The Lord is still looking for people today that he's looking for men and women of faith, of character, integrity. He's looking for people that he can use today. Is that you? Are you walking in the will of the Lord this morning? Are you doing exactly what he has called you to do? Are you serving him? You know, what you have in you has a way of getting out of you. You ever heard that? What you have in you has a way of getting out of you, especially if you drive I-95. I'll give you a pass if you drive 95. I'm sorry. All right, I won't even go there. But your circumstances will reveal your character. And I just challenge you to do everything that you can do to safeguard that. Safeguard your character, and God will bless and honor you. What does your character, though, reveal about you? What is on the inside will eventually show up on the outside. Because Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." So what does that character say about you, about me? We've looked at how Joseph's character was developed, how his character was demonstrated. As we close this morning, how his character was declared. Go back to Genesis 39, look at verse number 3. "And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to do prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him an overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from that time that he made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house." For whose sake? Joseph's sake. "And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know how he had. He did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate." You see, Potiphar looked at Joseph. Joseph was his slave in Potiphar's house, and he saw Joseph and how he was acting and his characters and integrity, and he saw that the hand of God was upon his life. We see that in verse number 3, and he knew that there was something special about this Hebrew slave that he had purchased. And he watched Joseph work, and he saw the results of his work. And Potiphar knew that everything that Joseph touched turned to gold. So what happened? Potiphar promotes Joseph, makes him overseer of the entire household. Joseph's in control of everything. Everything that happened in Potiphar's house. All his business interests even. Potiphar found out that he could trust Joseph in all that he was doing. You see, Joseph served Potiphar like he was serving the Lord. So Potiphar, this pagan Egyptian, saw something different in the life of Joseph. Joseph didn't have to go around putting little fish on his business cards or scriptures wherever. It was his testimony. It was his testimony, his character, his integrity. You see, the same thing needs to be true of each one of us. You see, the lives that we live should be so different from the world around us that the mark of God on us should be clear to see. When I worked in corporate America, for the company that you saw up on the screen a few weeks ago when I was inducted into the Hall of Fame, I worked for that company for 18 years, and I worked with a gentleman who was extremely smart. In fact, if you asked him what time it was, he would tell you how to build a watch. That's how smart this gentleman was. It was almost too smart for his own good, because I would have called him a borderline atheist in that he just didn't believe God. But he knew all about God, and he knew about the word testimony. And he would always come up to me and say, "Ron, don't ruin your testimony," in a sarcastic way. But you see, I tell you that because the world is watching us. The world is watching each one of us as we're out in the world. Matthew 5:16 are 20 of the most powerful words that we should have. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Those are 20 most powerful words that I think, some of the most powerful words in the whole Bible. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Does the world see your good works? Does the world see your testimony? Does the world see your character? Does the world see your integrity? Joseph lived a godly life. He glorified God. He lived for the Lord when he was with his dad in his home. He behaved himself in front of his brothers. He lived the right life as a slave. He refused to give in to flesh when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife. He maintained integrity when he went to prison and accused of rape that was he was wrongly accused. And he lived a life of character and devotion when he was promoted to a life of overseer. And you see, Joseph kept his character when most people would have given in to the flesh. And God blessed him. The Lord will do the same in your life and mine. You see, that's really what this is all about this morning. You see, if Jesus can trust us with the tasks that he's given to us, well, then he'll trust us with even greater things as we go down the road. You all know what the reward for service is? It's more service. The reward for service is more service. That's what happens when you follow the Lord, when you're walking in his will. He'll give you even more to do. When we found a little place over in Lehi to get away and have a little bit of vacation time, just a little bit of downtime, I thought, well, this is going to be great. I won't have to do too much. Well, guess what the Lord gave me? A ministry over there to be a part of. And I'm thankful for that. You see, the reward for service is more service. God used the sorrows in Joseph's life to shape him into the man that God wanted him to become. The trials that we face, the trials that you face, the trials that are in your life right now, whatever they might be, they're not easy, but they're useful for teaching us many things. They teach us how to depend upon God. Do you depend upon God when you go through those difficult times in life? They teach us how to maintain a tender and compassionate heart. Even when you're talking to the cable company on the phone for 2 hours. They teach us the value of tears. When we lost our little one at 7 months, we cried a lot. Those tears helped to heal. The value of those tears. They teach us how to be useful to the Lord. God uses those special trials, those storms, those difficulties to build us and to refine our character. In closing, I want you to think about a couple things. The world needs people who cannot be bought, whose word is their bond, who put character above wealth, who are larger than their vocations, who do not hesitate to take chances, who will not lose their individuality in a crowd, who will be honest in small things as in great things, who make no compromise with wrong, whose ambitions are not combined to their own selfish desires, who will not say they do it because everyone else does it, who are true to their friends through good report and evil report, in adversity as well in prosperity. Do not believe that shrewdness, cunning, and hard-headedness are the best qualities for winning success, who are not ashamed or afraid to stand for the truth when it's unpopular. You see, that's what the world needs. Are you a person of character this morning?